It is important, and it's certainly important to us at Daleville Christian Church, that the believer know what they believe and that they are able to state what they believe. The Christian faith being a revealed religion, that is, it does not generate from within us, but has been given to us from God, the Heavenly Father, and through Jesus Christ, His Son, and that it is revealed in His Word, the Bible. And so the Bible is essential and important to us at Daleville Christian Church, and when we want to talk about what it is we believe, we turn to God's Word. And so our affirmations of faith come from, directly from, the Word of God. And today's affirmation of faith is from John's Gospel, the first chapter, the first five verses, and also verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God's Word for today comes from the Apostle's letter, the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in the Greek city of Philippi. And so it is called the letter to the Philippians. And this in the second chapter, verses 12 through 18, where the Apostle writes, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. From the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in the Greek town of Philippi, commonly referred to as Philippians chapter 2, "I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me." The Apostle Paul says, "I am glad, and you should be glad too." Are you glad this morning? The word glad can be found over 100 times in your Bible. Psalm 100, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." I mentioned to you before a seminary professor I had named Roland Murphy. Roland Murphy was a slender, 6'6", imposing man with a deep voice. I had him for my 8:30 a.m. class. I am not a morning person. "I can visit with you until 2 o'clock in the morning, but don't ask me to be cheery in the morning." Professor Murphy, perhaps knowing we seminarians were not all morning people, often started class with a phrase like this one from the Psalms, and then would walk up to some poor student in the front row. And he would recite, "Worship the Lord with gladness." Do you worship the Lord with gladness? Do you? The best most students would answer is, if the Lord told me to, I would. And he would say, you're darn right you would. Friends, do you worship the Lord with gladness? Do you come before the Lord with joyful songs? There's been a standard joke here at Daleville Christian Church. When we sing the hymn, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And the hymn goes on to say, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face. And we invite people to look around and see if they can find any sweet expressions on any face in worship at Daleville Christian Church on Sunday morning. It's kind of like my infant granddaughter, Tandon. Someone says, look, the baby is smiling. And someone else says, it's probably gas. Is that how we find sweet expressions on our faces? Years ago, author and speaker Leo Buscaglia used to tell audiences they would ask people if they were happy. And people would say, yes, they were happy. And Buscaglia would answer, then why don't you tell your face? Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. I checked the phrasing on this verse in Psalms. Here's what my Bible commentary on Psalms says. And while we're talking about it, let me teach a moment about the Bible. Before the Bible was put together in this handy portable version, or I could hold up a phone, this handy portable version. Before we got the Bible in the handy portable versions that we have, parts of the Bible were in use. For example, our statements of faith, before they were ever written down, may have been recited or sung by the congregation during the worship services of the very first churches under the direction of the apostles themselves. The Psalms were not something in a book or on a scroll somewhere, but they were songs that people knew. They sang them. They chanted them, sometimes with the priest leading the people and the people responding. For example, the Psalm 100, the priest may have simply stated or shouted, worship the Lord with gladness. And the people would have shouted back to the priest, come before him with joyful songs. So here's what my commentary states on that psalm. This psalm is of a general nature and would fit most Israelite festivals. So the setting, the usual use of this psalm is a festival. Remember, Passover was a festival and Jews came from everywhere to be in Jerusalem, to be at the temple, to celebrate? We have no modern religious examples of this. Did you hear me? Certainly in America, we have no modern religious examples of such a festival celebration. The closest secular example to Passover in Jerusalem might be the Indianapolis 500 race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in Indianapolis, Indiana, where thousands throng into the racetrack venue. It is the 500 festival, and everyone is going to the race to celebrate and be glad. I know what a lot of Protestant American Christians will say. Well, my gladness is an inner gladness. Well, that's a little funny because ancient Israelites didn't think so, and nobody at the 500 festival track intends to keep their gladness quiet. The priests of ancient Israel declared to the people, all the worshipers, worship the Lord with gladness. My commentary goes on to say, verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 100 may have been sung by pilgrims approaching the gates of the temple. And although this is open to some interpretation, the Israelites knew what a dirge was, and they did not approach Jerusalem singing a dirge. A dirge of this very same psalm might sound like this: shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Is that how you imagine it was done? Again, throngs of people who have undertaken a trip of many miles, some through desert or mountains, up and down, no pavement, they arrive and throng toward the sanctuary, singing or shouting with gladness. My commentary states clearly, worship the Lord with gladness. This is not an optional extra. Those are the words of my commentary. Worship the Lord with gladness is not an optional extra. It is right for us to be glad. It is right for us to be glad. If the Bible says it's right for us to be glad, why don't we tell our faces? There is that old quote, serve the Lord or enjoy the Lord in such a way that people wonder, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with those Christian church people? They're so glad in worship. And if you're beginning to doubt me or that what I'm telling you is in the Bible, just refer to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Listen to this. All these curses will come on you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commandments and decrees he gave you, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly. Did you hear that? Because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly, all these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God. So people, get in there. Make with the gladness, okay? And you might say to yourself, okay, Pastor, I think we can manage a smile or two this morning. Good. Good for you. In Jesus, we celebrate every victory. The Apostle Paul wrote, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. And the Apostle Paul begins the letter, this very letter that he writes, with a dire and painful possibility that he might lose his life. He writes, even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. You know that word glad, it's the same word spoken to the shepherds by the angel. I bring you news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. That to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The King James Version knows the good news of Jesus as glad tidings. The word for glad here being the very same Greek word, a great joy. The basic meaning of this Greek word is to rejoice or to be glad. Forms of this word can be translated to be delighted. It's the same word when the phrase means to rejoice over something or to rejoice over someone. The same word is a description of the early churches in worship and at the Lord's table. I've quoted this verse to you many times. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, by which we understand that to mean they had communion. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were glad. Are you feeling any gladder yet? Joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And Romans chapter 15, 13 says, you and I are to be filled with an intense joy. John's gospel book says we have joy in the highest degree. Proverbs states matter-of-factly, a cheerful heart is good medicine. It's good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Think of all these words in the Bible, glad, gladness, joy, joyful, joyous. And yet the outside world does not know the church as a place of gladness. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. A person gets the impression that we have taken on the work of the prophet Jeremiah himself. Because some people will quote to me, you know, verses of the Bible that eschew gladness. One of them is in the prophet Jeremiah. And I would grant you, the prophet Jeremiah had a heavy task. It was a burden to him, and there was no joy in it. Jeremiah stated, I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because, O Lord, your hand was on me. But Jeremiah plainly states there isn't anything wrong with sitting in the company of revelers, but the Lord didn't want Jeremiah sitting in the company of the revelers. Jeremiah writes, I sat alone because, O Lord, your hand was upon me. That's what you wanted, Lord. There wasn't anything wrong with the revelers reveling, but the Lord didn't want Jeremiah with them. When we hear Jesus' story of the farmer whose land brought forth in abundance, and the farmer's response in the story was to eat, drink, and be merry, being merry was not the farmer's problem. The farmer's shortcoming is that he was keeping the blessings all to himself and giving himself the credit for the blessing that he received. When Jesus plainly states in the story that it was a coincidence that the farmer had a good year, it was not because the farmer was clever or smart or got the right seed or did the right fertilizer. It just happened. It was a coincidence that he had an abundant crop, but the farmer decided to keep it all for himself, as if he was the source of the blessing. The farmer thought he was a self-made man. Besides that, Jesus only asked the question, now, farmer, you decide to enjoy your blessings all yourself, now you're going to die. Who gets your blessings now? It isn't a problem to make merry. As I recall in another of Jesus' own stories, the father put on a party for a ne'er-do-well son who spent the family's capital investment. He held a party, a feast, put the same son back in charge of all the accounts he had charge of before. And there was nothing wrong with the party in that story. The father even states in Jesus' story, it's right for us to make merry. We had to celebrate and be glad. It was necessary, fitting. For my son was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Too many Christians have drawn the wrong conclusions from the wrong Bible verses. Joy and gladness are our inheritance. Joy and gladness in abundance and to the highest degree. They are our gifts in and through the Holy Spirit. But we insist that holiness has no mirth or laughter or any expression at all. Worship should be somber, we claim, the Apostle Paul says. But when the Apostle Paul only said worship should be in order, orderly, one part after another, Paul did not say eliminate any expressions of gladness or joy or glad-heartedness. The words glad, gladness, and joy are all words that are in your Bible. Humor is a part of that. Now, we've all known people who use humor as a form of avoidance to avoid awkward situations or topics, but that's not what I'm talking about. Dr. Viktor Frankl, a psychiatrist who survived the Nazi death camps of World War II, wrote this: humor is another of the soul's weapons in the fight for life. Humor is another of the soul's weapons in the fight for life. Humor can be a part of the fight for life. Life is God's gift, right? Although people will often say that God has a sense of humor, we refuse to see the humor that is in God's word. When Jesus said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God," Jesus' listeners were probably rolling in the aisles. But what do we do? We try to reinterpret that verse to be a real place called the eye of a needle. No, Jesus is using a funny hyperbole to make a point, and Jesus' listeners are listening and laughing and learning and remembering the words of Jesus just as he spoke them. Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. The New King James Version says it plainly: anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Other translations and versions say that a good word is cheering, that a good word cheers the heart, cheers a person up. Another proverb, Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Another version says it this way: a glad heart makes a face happy, but heartache breaks the spirit. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but with a heartache comes depression. Psalm 126, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the unbelievers, the Lord has done great things for them. The unbelievers will testify to the greatness of our God when our mouths are filled with laughter and our tongue is singing. And here's another Bible verse. I use it every funeral. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. We are a strange people, are we not? We faithful? Many of us don't think we should cry, and a number of Christians don't think we should laugh. But here they both are in God's word, and God is giving us time to do both. Do we forget Jesus' own words? Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. In the book entitled Resilience, which I have referenced before, Dr. Southwick and Charney wrote, most of the Vietnam prisoners of war we interviewed cited humor as an essential tool in their ability to survive and resist their captors. They further state there is substantial evidence for the effectiveness of humor involving combat veterans, involving cancer patients, and involving surgical patients in dealing with symptoms. Let me tell you about Jerry White. Jerry White was a very unfortunate young man. He was enjoying being a foreign exchange student in college in the country of Israel. He's a U.S. student. He went hiking one day, and you will remember that war has gone on in and around Israel for decades. Jerry White, a young American college student out hiking that one day, stepped on a landmine. Jerry White lost his foot to that landmine. He was taken to a hospital where he quickly became depressed and discouraged. One day an Israeli soldier came to the hospital to talk to amputees. He came to Jerry's bed and said, "I stepped on a landmine too. Can you tell which leg I have lost?" And Jerry admitted that he saw no difference in his step and stride. And the soldier told Jerry, "That's the point. The battle is not down there on your leg. The battle is up here in your heart." When the Israeli soldier discovered that Jerry White actually still had his knee intact, the soldier told him he wasn't that badly off. The soldier joked with him, "Oh, you just have a head cold. You'll get over that." The joke made Jerry White realize he had a decision to make about his healing. This soldier did it, survived, and came back from his injury. The question was, would Jerry White come back from his injury? That was an important moment. It was an important moment for Jerry White, an important moment for the world, because Jerry White would go on to help start the Landmine Survivors Network. That organization, for its work to restrict landmines as a weapon, shared the Nobel Peace Prize in 1997. The book Resilience will trot out for you the resources and the places in the brain that humor touches and activates. I've been saying all this year that our Lord doesn't so much want something from us, but our Lord wants something for us. Wants for us joy, a time to laugh, a time to dance, with glad hearts, singing joyfully. A time to laugh because we have all known the times to weep. We have all known times of mourning. The Lord wants us to have a time to dance. The apostle states clearly, "I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me." Now, friends, you know that you can't make yourself joyful. We are not able to command ourselves to be glad or to laugh. A joyful heart has to be cultivated. But we may begin knowing that gladness, joy, and a glad heart are things that our Lord wants for us. Can we focus on glad tidings? Can we give thanks for laughter when it comes? Can we seek good news? Can we worship the Lord with gladness? Can we affirm with the psalmist, "Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then they said among the unbelievers, the Lord has done great things for them." Can we be glad when we consider the great things the Lord has done for us out of his great love for us? Amen.